Just so you know, I got no topics. I have no idea what I'm about to say.
You can always just say, welcome to GLHF, the world's first podcast in video games.
Thank you so much for introducing the podcast, Austin. Welcome everybody else as well.
Can we at least raise the pitch? What? Wait.
I was trying to think of something to start this episode with. I got a new fridge.
How is it?
Courtesy of my landlord.
Okay. What, is it a smart fridge?
No, the other one just wasn't working. It was just always wrong. We kept adjusting the temperature, and either the freezer would be melting things or the fridge would be freezing things. Like, it just couldn't figure itself out.
How much work was done to diagnose versus the landlord just saying, I don't care, get a new one?
Well, he did send a fridge guy, which I loved, because this guy... See, now I'm about to rant about this guy a little bit, but there's no chance in hell he ever hears this. So I think it's fine.
Well, okay, go ahead. What was his name? Who did he work for?
Yes, name. Name, age, location.
All right.
He's the type of guy that wants to do everything himself to save money, so I was a little bit surprised that he did immediately send a fridge guy, because usually he comes here himself first, tries to fix something for 8 hours, can't do it, and then finally hires somebody. But he did send a fridge guy first.
I feel like that's a lesson everyone has to learn at some point. Well, that's not true. A lot of people don't. But, like, everything goes faster if you just get people who know how to do it.
Yes.
Like, people like to say, oh, do it yourself. This is, like, not to go back to the build a PC thing. But, like, and it's a little different. But it is always faster.
Yeah, we're always fighting off the PC builders.
Always, constantly. Sitting here complaining about my loud PC, being like, it's so loud.
We did that one episode and talked so long about how, like, everybody was going to comment that we should build our own PCs, and then, like, they can't resist. They can't even resist saying it anyway. Like,
no.
We still get comments that are like, I know you guys already complained about people like me, but I'm going to say exactly what you said.
They have to do it.
They have to do it.
It's like a cough.
It's like a
disease. You got a cough. Okay?
It really is.
It's a compulsion. Anyway, some people are like that just with fixing everything, and I respect it. It's great, but I think you actually save money by spending money doing that. You know what I mean? Like, the time it takes, 8 hours of your time, if you value your time at all,
yeah,
it's a fuckload of time. So I feel like just hire a guy.
It's also kind of a fuckload of time to be hanging out in somebody else's house.
It's would have stressed me out so much.
Yeah,
I would have offered to just, this is what I'll do, is I would just offer to pay. I'll just say, I will buy a new fridge and you can keep it. I'm just going to buy it to avoid.
I have done that a couple times. Like, I've just fixed things myself without even telling him, because I know what's going to happen.
What's the most serious thing you fixed yourself without telling him?
I remounted a cabinet in the bathroom that he had mounted on the wall upside down and, like, barely in a stud. It was like coming off the wall and upside down and not over the mirror. It was like to the side or not over the sink. So it's a cabinet with a mirror on it that's supposed to be over the sink so you can see yourself when you're washing your face or whatever. And he put it like 2 feet to the left and upside down and not in a stud. And every time you opened it was coming off the wall.
That's a tough thing. Well, if it's coming off the wall, it's easier, but that is kind of on the line of, like, it does work and it's not like, you know, it's not causing you a difficulty living there. So he'd probably just be like, what are you talking about? I mean, he might fix it, but it's not like
broken
fridge where it's like you need it.
There was that thing. And then, he just did a really, really bad job. And I'm going to say a funny word here. Everybody keep your laughter to yourselves. He did a really bad job caulking the tub. And so
the way you pronounced it, I think, would have avoided a lot of the laughter. I felt the L. You didn't say the L, but I felt it.
I tried to emphasize it. But, And so I re-caulked the tub myself, which actually was really annoying
and took
forever. But so those two things, I'm like, those are things that he did that are mainly just aesthetic problems. And so I would just be calling him to be like, this is ugly. You should fix this for me because you did an ugly job, which I don't really want to do. So I did just do it myself. But it's beautiful. And I was just going to say, when you're saying it's better just to hire an expert, I think if it's something that you don't care to learn and are never planning to learn yourself, then, like, yes. Like, I don't mind hiring people to mow our lawn because that sucks and it's a lot of energy and I just don't care.
Absolutely.
And it's not that cheap. It's not that expensive. Or, like, you know, electrical work. I'm probably not going to learn how to do that. I might, though. But I've been enjoying DIYing, like, little construction projects, like mounting stuff on walls and stuff. So that I don't really mind doing myself because I get to learn something and it's kind of fun and then it feels good. But yeah, for the most
and
part.
It's good to know how things work. Like, it's very good and helpful to, like, know how to do basic car things and basic house things and whatever. I just mean, when if you're looking at the calculus and you're going, this is going to involve something to do with a compressor, maybe the 8 hours is not worth it at that point, you know?
Yes.
But like you said, it depends. It depends on, I think all of us have done something that we thought was like a simple thing we wanted to learn that then spiraled out of control and ended up taking ages. And, you know, you learn things and that's good. So, you know what? I rescind it slightly. If you have the time and you really want to learn stuff, go ahead. But if you're going to be one of those people who's like mad the whole time, or if you're in somebody else's house for those 8 hours, stop.
Yeah.
Hire
someone. In somebody else's house with a handyman that doesn't know how to do electric stuff either, trying to do electric stuff in the game room where I have to work all day and it takes a week and you're in the house for at least 4 hours a day for the whole week and you're just like sitting at my desk scrolling on your phone while the handyman is working for 4 hours plus. Maybe not that.
I would have got a hotel. I would have been out of there. I would have just gone somewhere else.
There's
no way you're going to interrupt my life like that.
I started periodically coming in the room, just kind of moving stuff around and getting in his way to
worst.
Be like, hey, I live here.
Hey, yeah. But like he, poor guy, is like, I'm hired to do this. I don't know what you want me to do.
No. Getting in the landlord's way. The handyman I actually love.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Love.
For some reason, I thought I got it.
The handyman was
a
very nice guy.
Okay, tell me about the handyman. Very handy.
When we first moved in, we just had all kinds of problems. Like I said, we lost power specifically in the game room, which is where I need power the most. And, and it took a week to fix because landlord tried to fix it. He tried to hire this handyman to fix it, which again was a lovely guy. Don't blame him. And then like finally after a week of that, he hires actual electricians and they come and fix it immediately. But, So this handyman was over a lot because we had a lot of problems when we first moved in. There was I honestly don't even remember everything. Just lots of things were not quite right. And he was a great guy. He was one of these guys that just says he can do anything because he kind of can, you know, he's like a bit of a jack of all trades. But he was also very much like a people pleaser. And so he kept like trying to subtly tell the landlord, I'm not really comfortable doing electrical stuff. I don't really know anything other than like replacing an outlet. And this is complicated. And the landlord kept just being like,
and also
okay, well,
dangerous.
Try it. Yes, exactly.
Like gotta,
dangerous.
Yeah, tough.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're a people pleaser, sometimes you die because of that. And that's how
it
goes.
I didn't blame him, but I did feel bad that the landlord was making him try his best for like 8 hours at a time and he didn't know how to do it and was also kind of scared.
Yep.
Poor guy. Yeah, so
again, I feel like the move is still like I would sooner go the, you know, whatever the time the landlord's gonna have some random person in, you could probably just go like get a job at a restaurant and work for those 8 hours, then take that money and just hire someone. You could just trade it off and then quit the job and leave them high and dry. It's just too annoying to have people in your house.
It is. So I've already really kind of evolved to the state where I'm trying to fix a lot of stuff myself or just hire people myself, at which point I'm like, well, why am I doing that when I'm renting? But whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it is a huge benefit. Like, imagine you were to buy a new fridge because your fridge broke. And if you think you're going to stay there for even 2 or 3 years, like $600 or whatever a fridge is, $1,000, I don't even know. Never had to buy one. But like $600 to have a fridge for 3 years is like, whatever. That's like reasonable ish amount of money.
If you have the money, sure. It's definitely exactly. awesome that I did not have to pay for the fridge. How much does a refrigerator cost?
I would spend, even before I was rich and famous, I would have spent $600. I would have put it on my credit card to avoid 2 days of inconvenience.
I think I really would have.
Yeah, no, I think I really would have. And I would have just worked more and paid it off. I really do hate it so much. But new fridge. Is it one of the fridges where it's side-by-side fridge freezer or top-down
fridge
freezer?
No, it's not that big.
Is it a drawer freezer?
No, it's like regular, like freezer on top. Holy shit.
Do I have a huge fridge? What happened?
Oh, do you have a two-door one? Then yes, that's like rich people vibes.
That's a huge fridge?
Yeah.
Okay, sick. Good.
Good. You want the rich people
why'd you
vibes.
Why'd you say holy shit?
Because fridges cost $1,000. Looking at Home Depot.
Hold on. All fridges or like nice, like rich people fridges?
Like,
because I'm pretty sure you can get
the size of one that we just got is $848.
I guess, yeah, like, stuff has gone up a lot in the last few years.
And then the
but
double door,
I feel like you can get...
Your kind of fridge is, like, $2,000.
Ooh, here's one that's $14,000. That's what I want to get.
$14,000?
$14,000 for
what
a fridge is crazy.
What
but
is it
these
doing?
Are all... These are, yeah, here's like a...
Does
look
it have
at
a TV
yeah,
on
like
it?
A, I don't know. I think it's like a... It's for restaurants, I think. That's what I want to get. Here's one. Yeah, you got ones that are like $500, $600... Whirlpool's got one for $700. So they're like you can get one for less than $1,000 and I'm sure they break more often, but look, here's one that's tiny, that's $200. But I watched that video on the internet that talked about how those little fridges are a scam or whatever, that they don't like work. So
which ones?
You gotta be careful. Something about like you know anytime you buy like a mini fridge. Something about the technology in them means that their ability to cool things, you can only fill them like halfway up before they fail or something. Like they can't cool things past a certain level. It doesn't matter. It's all boring. But you know, hey, congrats on the new $900 fridge.
Thank you. Oh, and then I didn't even... So I had a rant about the fridge situation because this is a really classic example of what goes on with us contacting our landlord about anything. So we contact him about the fridge. Miraculously, he sends a fridge guy first thing. Fridge guy immediately says is it the compressor? Is that a part of a fridge?
It is.
That is bad, and it basically costs the same as a fridge, so we might as well get a new fridge.
Yes, unfortunately.
Landlord orders the new fridge. It comes on... It was Tuesday, I think. As I'm speaking right now, it's Friday. Fridge comes Tuesday morning. They switch it out. Apparently, our old fridge was connected to the water line. Now, I don't know why, because it didn't have water coming out of it or an ice machine, to my knowledge. But it was connected to the water line for some reason. And the new one is not. So, they remove the old fridge, they put the new one back. And they've removed some kind of hose, obviously, that was connecting the old fridge to the water.
Right, right.
And they leave. And a couple hours after they leave, I realize I don't have any water coming out of the kitchen sink.
Oh, interesting.
So
we're learning a little bit about our house works, how our house works.
I trace the pipes and I realize that there was a valve connected to the cold water pipe that was splitting it between the kitchen sink and the fridge.
Yeah.
And they had to turn that valve off to remove the old fridge so that water wouldn't spray everywhere. And they've left it off, and they didn't put anything capping where the fridge was attached to.
I see. I was going to ask. So it's like an on-off valve, not like a splitting valve. It's not one that you can
It's just on or off. So I am like taking pictures of the valve and Googling and realizing that I cannot turn this thing back on because it will just spray water everywhere behind my...
You didn't just like give it a quick little beep and just see if anything came out? That's what I would have done.
I did not test it.
Turn it on, see what happens. And then you snap it off and you're like,
because it's kind of like in the wall, like in a hole at the back of my...
How far away from the fridge was it?
Like right next to it. Like our kitchen sink is right next to the fridge.
Okay, so it wasn't like many feet away that they had this valve or whatever. It was like in a relatively reasonable spot.
Anyway, okay. So that's the fridge guy's bad because they should have done something about that, or the landlord should have done something about that.
For sure.
But anyway, I contact the landlord about this, and guess how long it took for him to find a cap that would fit on this thing and get our kitchen sink working again.
I mean, the most it could have taken was 3 days. Oh, really?
No, I'm saying Tuesday morning is when this problem started.
Oh, I was like, damn, he did it right then?
He fixed it.
I mean,
yesterday evening at like 6 p.m. yesterday. We didn't have water in our kitchen sink. From Tuesday morning until Thursday night.
He did not need that much time. This man was dragging his feet. There's no way. Because he just went to Home Depot and bought something. He didn't have something shipped, right? There's no way.
He claimed he was also at our house multiple times over those days trying to fix it. And he claimed that he had to go to 5 different stores to find the right cap that he needed.
No, landlords are always saying stuff like that. I used to tell people that when I worked in management. If I had to go to 2 stores, I'd be like, I had to go to a bunch of different stores to find this thing.
Here's the thing,
it's
though,
just
Austin,
how you make your life seem worthwhile.
I do believe him, really? Because I think he really is just, he just kind of doesn't know how to do anything.
All right.
And he's the kind of guy, apparently, like that will just keep buying things and trying them and not just, you know. I would have been like taking a picture of the valve, Googling it, figuring out exactly what it was, exactly what size it was, so I know exactly what I need. But he's apparently not that kind of guy. And it took It took everything in, like, wait, which one? You'll just buy stuff and try it?
Yeah, I'll just like look at it and be like, okay, it's about, I don't know, it's about this big. Like, I'll use my fingers. Then I'll go to the store and be like, how big was it? Oh, my fingers, it was like this. And I'll get like this and maybe grab a couple other ones and then they won't work. And I'll be like, all right, okay, so it's a little bigger than this one. Which one was it bigger than? I think it was about this one. And then I'll just, you end up going back and forth. Like, I'm dumb like that in the same way. Because you kind of, I think you assume that things are simple. And they're...
Right, like how many pipe sizes can there be?
Exactly, right. But it turns out it's a lot. And you need to, like, pay attention. Which is why we have, like, things to measure things and tread measure thingies and so on. But in any case.
So I don't know why it was so hard to find this thing. But anyway, so I know for a fact I could have fixed it same day. And I really, like, took some restraint to not do it because I had already asked him. So at that point, it would have been, like, kind of just me passive aggressively texting him, like, I fixed it already, which I actually have done a couple times. There's been a couple different things where he was taking so long to try to fix something that I just did it myself and texted him, don't worry about it, I did it.
Something's not that hard.
Oh my god. Anyway, shout out to my landlord. Do we actually look the same? Like, green shirt, blue eyes, kind of messy hair.
Your eyes are black.
Like? Oh.
So aside from that, though, yes, we look pretty similar. I forgot to tell you, I'm going to be out of town again next week, by the way. But I think I could probably still do a podcast if you wanted to. It might just be at a weird time. But I'm going to be in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Oh, you're going to Minneapolis.
Yeah, so much travel this summer. It's been crazy.
Seriously? What are you doing? When are you home?
Too much. I'm miserable. I don't like it.
It is a lot. It sounds like a lot.
It's way too much. Especially going to OpenSauce last weekend and then immediately Minneapolis was a big mistake.
Yeah.
Because I'm like unbelievable crunch time with video stuff that I'm trying to get done. Plus my sleep schedule's all funky.
Yeah.
But listen, we're having a great time. I'm living life.
You're just packing a lot into life right now.
Packing a lot. We'll have a couple months off maybe towards the end of the year. Maybe. We'll see. When I went to OpenSauce last weekend, people kept trying to tell me I got to go to TwitchCon. And you know what I said to that?
No.
I said I'd rather die than go anywhere near that convention. Let me tell you about OpenSauce since we're here.
Yeah. I was a little bit... It does sound like really cool. And then I was thinking about the fact that I wouldn't have really wanted to travel again after VidCon, after I just went to VidCon. So it's like,
yes.
I didn't quite have the motivation even if I had had the means, but do tell me about it.
I would say it was very awesome. I thought it was like, I had fun at VidCon.
Would
we
you
had
say
a good
it was
time.
Awesome sauce?
It was awesome sauce. Can we take that out? I wish I didn't say that. Can we cut that?
Mm-mm.
Open sauce is really fun. It was like, a part of it is just the creators who are there are just a ton of people that I've actually watched and that I actually like.
Yeah.
And part of it is there's a lot more creators there that like me. So there's a lot more people to talk to, like that I'm friendly with.
For sure. That seems like your crowd.
But yeah, it's like it was just a ton of people that I really like to talk to. But the whole vibe of it in terms of what the floor space was like and so on felt way more like what people described VidCon as back in the day in terms of like constant impromptu meet and greets with people, creators mingling out with like the crowd. Everyone's very chill. There's no like it felt very less like a creator economy forward, you know?
Yeah.
Most of the conversations with people were just like,
probably less screaming Minecraft kids.
It wasn't like, hi, what's your YouTube
kids?
Channel? It was way less screaming Minecraft kids, which obviously is a trade-off. You know, there was no J-Man Curly at Open Sauce. But the ability, like, for in all of the creator-specific spaces, all of the creator people were so chill, like, and easy to talk to and available.
Yeah.
And you're like, it's not just people who are like, I don't know how to say this, but like smaller YouTubers or whatever. You've got like Vsauce and Hank Green and all of them hanging out. And it's just like big rooms of people that you step in and out of groups and nobody cares who's who. And everyone's just talking and having a great time. So I thought it was super fun. It made me like really
was
happy
this like
to,
the
like,
kind of thing anybody can get a ticket to?
Not to the spaces that are just like the creator lounges.
Yeah.
That stuff, of course, is like specifically for you, like step back there to hang out and take a breather. But anyone can get a ticket to Open Sauce itself. There are tickets, like there are tiered tickets in certain ways, same as there is at VidCon. But it's an open convention to anyone who wants to go. But the sort of backstage experience and like the parties and stuff were just all the people were really, really nice. Like I met so many YouTubers that I'd never heard of that then I looked them up and I was like, you know, you meet someone and you're like, this is a really cool, chill person. I really like this person. And then you look it up and it's like the dude that went to all the Margaritavilles with Eddie Burback, Ted Nivison. And you're like, oh, fuck. I guess that guy's really nice and really cool.
Talked about him on the pod.
Yeah. And I didn't like instantly recognize him, but I had a long conversation with him. He was really nice. Just H Bomber guy was there. Talked to him for a while. He was really nice.
Okay. Name dropping.
I met my homie Practical Engineering. It was just a lot of really cool people.
Yeah.
So I highly recommend it. I think it was like the floor experience of it, like I told you, was just like a giant science fair with like really funny things that only half worked, like as you'd want at a science fair.
Like what?
There was like booths that were like, I mean, they had a whole booth that was like, would you have survived the Titanic? And so it was like this thing where somebody, they built this board that was shaped like the door and they put it on like a hydraulic thing. And then they had it so you went on it. And if it tilted too far, a red buzzer would go off. And then like you fell off, you died. And then there was like separate to that, they made like this quiz you could take to see if you, based on like what you would have done if you would have survived on the Titanic.
Nice.
So it was just like funny, goofy.
And you love the
things
Titanic.
Like that. Love the Titanic, big fan. Not only that, obviously, there's a 737 simulator there. I did not get to do that.
Damn.
It was broken when I went up to it, and also the line was just like insane. They were letting people do it for way too long. But
you
should
have showed up like first thing, first day to get in that thing.
Yeah, and I didn't, because there is like they open it an hour early for like industry and creator people to go in and check everything out, and I just didn't ever take advantage of that, and I should have.
Well, damn. It sounds like I should have gone to that instead.
Yeah, next year we're going to Open Sauce for sure. I think you would have had a real hoot.
What city was that in?
Outside of San Francisco. It was in a place called San Mateo, California. The only weird thing about it was there were no hotels on site, so you had to like get there every day, which wasn't a big deal, but it was like you had to drive.
That's a little annoying.
And, like, park and paper
parking
stuff.
How was there no hotels near a convention center?
I know, that's what was weird. But, you know, it is what it is. Everyone figured it out, so.
It's like Coachella.
Oh, shout out to the guy, by the way, who...
8 hours through the desert.
Shout out to the guy who I met who said that he flew halfway across the world. Can't remember where he said from. One of those countries, you know, like Scandinavia or something. Norway?
One of those other countries.
Denmark. I think it was Denmark. I don't know. And he said that the whole way there, he listened to a bunch of GLA Chef. He was like, I was just listening to your podcast all the way on the plane ride, all the way over here.
Wow. Like,
incredible.
Hey, guy.
I know. Hey, guy. And, yeah, it was awesome. I had a really wonderful time, and I just wanted to tell you that I think we should skip VidCon and go to Open Source next year. Because it was a...
Yeah, I mean,
it was a hoot.
So would you say, though, that it's very kind of education and science focused? As far as the creators that were there and stuff.
I mean, ostensibly, yes. Like, do you mean in terms of, like, who the types of people you would meet and talk to on, like, panel or see on panels and stuff like that? I would say it was, like, 70%, like, education and engineering. But 30% just, like Ludwig was there doing whatever he does.
Nice.
People like Ted Nivison and whatever. But, yeah, it was majority... STEM related in some way, which I guess I would include myself in to a certain extent. Not entirely though. It was like probably 70-30, maybe 60-40.
Yeah. I just think, I don't know. I think it would make me,
too many.
I think it would make me insecure because I make stupid content.
There were small moments where I thought I was going to feel insecure, but I cannot emphasize enough how like chill everybody was. Like it nobody cared about,
I don't know, sometimes
that
I,
side of it at
I
don't all.
I mostly watch like just funny silly stuff, and I'm kind of in my era post grad school where I'm like, I don't really want to be smart or like think about smart things, and sometimes
I
see
based and cool
for now, yeah, but I would like to be able to like reintegrate the smart side of myself at some point. And I think I feel sometimes I see YouTubers that are like doing smart stuff like you, and I go, maybe that's what I should be doing because I do have a brain and I can make stuff like that. But then it makes me feel insecure because I'm like, I kind of like left that part of my life behind, and it's just weird. It's weird, you know, because I quit my PhD,
it's funny you say
so
that.
I'm like, I don't really feel like I belong in that space anymore. I don't know.
Isn't that just the thing? First of all, you would have belonged there in terms of like general knowledge more than I would have. But also, it doesn't matter. But isn't that the same thing of like every musician wants to be a comedian, every comedian wants to be an actor, every actor wants to be a musician or whatever? Like you always want to do the thing that you're not doing, and you feel like the people doing the thing you're not is like cooler than you. Like every time I walk up to someone, and these are people who like do actual... like science, like these are actually people who are building things. I'm just a guy who reads Wikipedia and like says so. I felt some amount of inadequacy in terms of that, but it really didn't come up at all. Like there are sometimes obviously there's conversations where people are talking about whatever web developers software engineering thing is whatever, and I don't know anything about that, but
yeah, I mean, and for
even,
me
you
I
know,
don't
Ashlyn
even know
was there and she was talking to people in this, like there was no issue in that sense at all. It didn't feel exclusionary, I didn't think, at all.
Yeah, I'm sure everybody there is very nice. I'm purely talking about, like, what I think in my own head. And I also don't even think... Like, on a good day, I think I would tell you I don't want to make that kind of content because it's just... Like, I enjoy it from other people, but that's just not what I want to make personally. It's more of a, like,
exactly.
I feel like I should... because I have the education or because like that would make me be seen as smarter in other people's eyes. So it's just purely like stupid insecurity that actually doesn't mean anything, but because I don't actually want to do that. But
there were small moments where I would end up in conversations with like, you know, you've ever met a software developer engineer and they're like,
unfortunately,
really a software
engineer. Yes.
There were a couple moments like that where you're like, someone's clearly trying to like, tell you about something or pitch you something or whatever, and you're like, oh, dude, we're just trying to chill, like we're just trying
to
have conversations.
Those people
here.
Drove me crazy, even like in engineering school
Yeah.
There's like software guys. And again, I'm sorry, but it is always guys. There's software guys
I didn't meet anyone who wasn't.
That is their, you know, their whole personality, and they like they have a lot of confidence in their expertise in technical things. And so they're just like bringing it up all the time and like using complicated words when they don't need to. My biggest thing in all of my schooling and in grad school was like, even if I was kind of like an expert on a certain thing and I knew all the big words, I tailor how I'm talking to individual people and I simplify things. Like, that's the teacher in me, I guess, right? I'm like explaining things in a way that people are actually going to understand. Because a lot of the times the big words are actually just like, they mean something extremely simple that's very easy to explain, but people like to use the big words because they like to sound like they know big words. And that always drove me crazy.
Yeah. I think there is a genuine type of person who actually just like doesn't.
Right. I think some of them are just nerds and aren't thinking.
It's just the words. Yeah. You know the words that you know, and it is what it is. But it's hard. I would be able to have a conversation with someone who wasn't able to sort of translate it, and that's fine. You know, sometimes you just want to talk to your people in your zone. But I'm speaking to a very specific type of person when I say software engineers or software developers.
Yeah,
most of the people who did that work were great. Just a couple of people who kind of give you that, like, they watched The Social Network a little too closely kind of vibe.
Oh my god, I know.
And you know, that's how life goes,
dude.
People, you got to find inspiration somewhere. Anyway, Baldi is a.
He's a freak, is what he is.
He's a freak. He's
Looks
a freak
like he's
for
made
sure.
out of Play-Doh.
Is he an SCP?
He should be.
He seems like he might be, but I'm not sure.
He's got big SCP energy for sure. I don't like how prominent his lips are.
I did want to bring up two really quick things.
Sure.
Number one, I did get a return. My public records request. You remember I told you I was looking for a traffic study.
Yeah.
That was done near my house. They got back to me and said they don't have any records pertaining to that because in the state of Louisiana, the government has given the municipalities the ability to set traffic laws just by ordinance rather than having to do a study. So, you know, once again, things are more nuanced than they seem. You can read somewhere in a stuffy book that you have to do a traffic study to set a speed limit, but it turns out there's a million exceptions. You can also just set speed limits as long as the government says you can. So,
wow.
It was a dud. Didn't get anything.
I did love, did you see that comment on that episode where somebody was saying they lived in a really tiny town where the mayor did just decide the speed limits?
I didn't see that. I should read that. What was that? That sounds funny. Summarize it for me?
They just said it was a really tiny town where literally like the mayor just had the power to decide the speed limits and everybody was like pissed at him for a certain speed limit on a road.
But are we saying the mayor had the power as in was granted the power by the state or county government or the mayor just decided to do it? You know, like executive decision.
I don't know the exact government structure. I have immunity. It sounds like something like what you're talking about, where they just would give
tiny towns. How do you not know
the
exact government? How do you not know the exact government structure of this town?
Sorry.
All right. Regarding mayors and speed limits, this is from Caleb Hawes. In a small town local to me, the speed limit on a few main streets was 35 miles an hour. Then a mayor got elected, and after some consideration, decided to change the main street speed limit to 25, which it remains at today. It's a small enough town that I have met this mayor and some of my family know him rather well, and he has stated that changing the speed limit to 25 miles an hour was probably the dumbest thing he ever did while in office. The current mayor has not bothered to change it back. Anyway, in a small enough place, the mayor does get to arbitrarily determine the speed limit. I'd be curious what the town is. People need to... I'm mad, okay? People need to give more details. I'm sick of reading stuff where people go... Near where I am, the police actually...
You want to know their zip code.
...were able to... You can't just say things... Like, I need enough information that I can actually verify what's being said.
You need to be able to geolocate this commenter. You need to find their house.
Don't make fun of me,
you need to
okay?
look in their windows.
You're making fun of me now, and I'm serious, all right? This needs to be... This is a top priority for me and my administration going forward, okay?
Your administration.
I just want to be able to verify... I want to be able to verify what people are saying, because or else I'm just regurgitating this information. Because there could be a law that says, like imagine, what if the new mayor, there was like a traffic study done, and it said that if you reduce the speed limit to 25, you'll reduce death by 20%, and you have the power. You know, like, I want to know the details. I don't like when people just say things that make it so I can't fact check them. You know, it's like unfalsifiable claims. Quit it. We don't do that anymore in this nation. We're done with that.
I'm snapping into the mic for you.
Thank you. I can hear it. All right. That's all. I got off my chest. I'm just sick of not being able to falsify people's claims. And so if you say something unfalsifiable, I'm going to ignore you.
Okay.
Cue a compilation of
Anyways,
everything
I've said. What was
said
that person's
that's
name?
Completely unfalsifiable. Josh, what did it say?
Anyway, thank you.
Caleb.
Yeah, completely different name. Thank you, Caleb, for that comment. I thought it was really lovely and interesting.
Me too. I agree totally. And then I wanted you to... I have an excerpt, okay? I'm going to read you something. This is a quote from a book. And I'm going to read you this quote, and it pertains to a performance that was done. And it's going to describe for you the... what occurred when this performance happened. And I want you to try and guess what this was a performance of and why the reaction was the way it was. Okay? Does that make sense?
Sure. Does this have anything to do about speed limits?
No. It's completely like, okay. It could not be less relevant.
Okay.
Here we go. Quote, in the spring of 1943, the hall was so packed that men were even perched on the window ledges. No audience could possibly have been more enthusiastic or shown their appreciation to a greater degree. I have never laughed so much as I did that night. I can't read that part because it'll give it away. Her performance was so realistic, and I am sorry I have not that first program. Okay, that, you don't have to worry about that last quote. That was just her saying, I'm sorry that I don't have a copy of the program from that evening. So what do you think this person's referring to? That it was a packed house. Nobody could have been more enthusiastic than this audience.
What
She's never laughed
you say?
So much as she did that night. I didn't tell you a year. I think it was like 1930.
That would be Amy Schumer's first stand-up set.
It was a really good guess. It was close, actually. It was close. This was actually one of the first times that... the poem "There Was an Old Lady Who Swallowed a Fly" was performed publicly. This is real. This is a real quote. It said, I've never laughed so much as I did that night. She told us about that woman who swallowed a fly and then swallowed a cat to eat that fly and a dog to eat the cat and so on. Her swallows were so realistic. People were flipping out. This was a packed house to watch this lady perform.
Where? What building
there
was this?
There was an old lady who swallowed a fly. I could look it up, but I didn't write that piece down. There was an old lady.
So look at you, exactly like Caleb. You don't know where the fuck this happened. You're just relaying
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, but at least... no, it's not... Listen, at least I gave the exact quote. You can Google the quote and falsify it that way. I was too harsh on Caleb.
Caleb, Austin takes it back. He's not that cruel.
Yeah, I take it back.
That's crazy. I mean, that's just back in the day... when you had so little entertainment that anything could entertain you.
It was somewhere in the UK. It doesn't say. It's from a book by Dorothy King.
That's the most British poem I've ever heard.
You know, I never thought about that. But I guess it is pretty... like, the British humor, I guess.
Is that a limerick?
But yeah, I just think it's funny.
Limericks are very British.
No. I think a limerick is like... it does not have a very specific structure.
That's a limerick.
Yeah, there was an old lady who swallowed a fly. I don't know why she swallowed a fly. Perhaps she'll die. It's kind of limericky.
It's got a rhythm, but it's not exactly a limerick. Let me look up where limericks came from so I'm not blaming the UK for that.
It sounds Irish, right? That word sounds pretty
appeared in England in the 18th century.
Yikes.
I'm so correct. That's so British.
Yeah. No, you're right.
I've actually never had that thought before, but that makes so much sense to me. A limerick is so British in vibes.
Yeah, because it's the type of thing that you have to sing in a field while wearing like pants, like funny pants. And that's not, we didn't want, that's why we left. That's why we started this country. So we didn't have to do that crap anymore.
But listen, I bet when limericks first came out, people loved them.
No, that's what's funny is like when you go look up things like where did, you know, some random song come from, like Mary Had a Little Lamb. It'll be like Mary Had a Little Lamb debuted in the Cheshire Theatre to a 1,200 seat packed house performance. And everybody was, and you're like, whoa, people really just didn't have stuff to do.
No, they really didn't. And sometimes I think we need to get back to that. Because it takes a lot to entertain me these days. And I'm like, maybe I'm doing this wrong. I think I've consumed too much content.
It is when everything makes a lot more sense. Not everything. This is just a very specific thing, actually. But have you ever seen those videos of like choirs singing in a really old giant cathedral? And how like it's even beautiful today. But imagine if you're like a peasant or whatever. I don't know if they got to go to cathedrals, but like you just work in the fields. You never hear any music except like your kid singing and stomping on snails or whatever they did. And then like once a year on Christmas, you get to go to this insane building. All you look at all year long for 364 days is dirt and mud and your family starving because it's winter and nobody gets any food. And then one day a year, you get to hear this like unbelievable angelic thing.
It would be awesome.
We're kind of spoiled and like we don't, that we have to like literally go to like the Rocky Mountains, like we have to travel and look at one of the most incredible things on the entire planet in order to feel anything.
Well, I still feel things. That way
I don't, I gotta travel. I have to travel maybe, so I can feel.
I just think maybe I could be feeling more, you know, like maybe we need to content detox. Like, go into the woods for a month. And then maybe, like... Because can you imagine if you... Like, if I went into the woods for a month camping and then I came back, every TikTok would be so funny. And I kind of want to experience that.
Do you think... Hey, you know what? That's a YouTube video. I bet that would go so hard. You can't come out of the woods.
People have done that. Quit their phone for a month. I think Eddie Burback just did that. But
did he really?
Yeah.
What did he think TikTok was funny again?
I don't know. I just saw the thumbnail. I haven't watched it. But
it might have the opposite effect. You might be like, this sucks, actually. Just, it's not fun at all.
No, because I mean, I kind of did a smaller version of that when I first downloaded TikTok in like 2019 or whatever. When, like the first few days that I was on TikTok, I was like, this is the funniest shit I've ever seen in my life. And now I'll sit there for 3 hours and scroll and I'll laugh at like a couple of them. But I was like enthralled the first time I had TikTok.
Yes.
I was like obsessed.
It's like the first couple times you hit the slots, you know?
Yeah.
It's like it's real exciting. And then very quickly you got to really, I mean, it's like with anything, I suppose, you just build up a tolerance. So yeah. Yeah, what would happen? I've always wondered what would happen if you put yourself in a sensory deprivation tank and listen to the same song on repeat for like 14 days straight. Like what would that change about your brain? And would you...
I think you'd be really sick of that song.
But would you start to hear it differently at a certain point? And then when you finally stopped, that feeling would probably be so interesting, you know?
Maybe. I mean, I would be interested in just like
how imagine the Baldi's
feel.
Song. You remember play the song from the Baldi's menu? Imagine if you actually listened to that for 24 straight hours with your eyes closed. Like that, something would happen.
I think that would be psychological torture. Yeah, I think the listeners are probably hearing nothing right now. I think I've probably muted the music because the music to this game is insane. It's like the most insufferable stuff I've ever heard.
Well,
it's still
I
can see the
it.
Volume bar right now. It's still going at full volume. I'm going to check in real quick with the music and see.
Oh, it's different music. It's actually banging. Whoa. This music's really good.
It's still a little bit overstimulating. The menu music was really bad.
The menu music was horrible. This is actually a song, at least.
I have thought before about how quick I would get sick of a song if, like, if you had to go to a desert island and pick one song to listen to, like, I don't know. Would I stop listening to it? I guess that's a good psychological question. Would I get so sick of it that I would never listen to it again? Or would I just, like, take a month off and then listen to it again?
Yeah, I think you'd probably, like, take a month off and listen to it
again.
Yeah,
I probably wouldn't be able to resist listening to it at some point again. But I would get very, very sick of it.
When's the last time you think that happened? You don't hear about people getting stranded on desert islands anymore.
You want to Google it? I feel like I've heard of a recent one.
Is there such thing as, like, because don't we know where all the islands are? Oh, April 2024. Okay.
Who is it?
Let's see if this is true. Stranded on remote Pacific islands is from the Smithsonian. Three men spelled help with palm fronds and got rescued. Wow, that's a classic situation.
It really is.
Spelling help, too, and, like, on the beach. The saga began March 31st when the three men I should probably name the author here because I'm stealing her content. Sarah Kuta, daily correspondent for the Smithsonian. The saga began on March 31st, Easter Sunday, when the three men departed from Palawat Atoll in a 20-foot open skiff with an outboard motor. Experienced mariners, all in their 40s, and blah, blah, blah. Their boat got broken because they didn't build a good boat. And then they ended up landing on an island where they lived off of coconut meat and drank fresh water from a small
bell. I don't like that
it's
called coconut meat.
I didn't think it would be. I think it'd be called, like, rind or something, right?
I've heard that before.
Meat is not the correct word.
I would just say, like, coconut fruit. Isn't it a fruit? It's on a tree.
Is it a fruit?
Or just say they survived on coconuts. You don't have to say meat.
Yeah, they ate coconuts. It's good enough. I wonder what else... How big... I gotta know what this island was. But anyway, the point is, after they didn't get back, the Coast Guard spent $77 million looking for them, probably.
Whoa!
And thank... You know how they are. The Coast Guard just will spend money like crazy. And then they airdropped survival kits to them. They were only there for, like, a week and change, which isn't nothing.
That's not
even
that bad.
But you wouldn't know. Like, after day 4 or 5,
they just had a little vacation from their wives, am I right?
Hey. It might be scary, because you at some point on, like, day 5 or 6,
it might
you're probably
be
like, damn,
yes, it would be terrifying.
Well, I mean, like, day 1 or 2, you're like, oh, they're going to rescue us. But day, like, 5 or 6, you're like, we might literally not get rescued.
Yeah.
Like, that is an actual possibility, which is pretty scary.
Speaking of the ocean, can I talk a little bit about Mission Impossible again, apparently? Because I already talked about it in my video.
Oh, yeah. I loved that movie. I heard the last one was...
there's, like, 8 of them.
All right. There's a lot.
But we just saw... the last one in theaters on Wednesday, because we're kind of big Mission Impossible fans in this house. We rewatch all the movies pretty regularly. Because
did you do them all leading up to this?
Yeah. So the thing is, the new one came out like a couple months ago, I think. So I'm surprised it was still in theaters that we could see it on Wednesday. But
I'm surprised too.
We had to rewatch all of them first, of course, before we went and saw that, because I wanted to remember what happens. Because my biggest problem with seeing them in theaters is I never remember anything that happened in the last ones, and then they're talking about all these, like, complex schemes, and I don't remember who anybody is. But
are all of them connected? Like, from episode 1 all the way to
that
now?
The first, like, 4 are barely connected at all. And then they start to get a little bit connected, starting with Rogue Nation, which I think is the 5th
one. I thought this was kind of like a James Bond situation where, like, within little trilogies they're connected, but they have, like, kind of separate things as well.
The first, like, 4 movies, I think, are pretty, like, individually separate. But,
Because, like, Ghost Protocol on, I remember feeling like they all seemed kind of similar. Like, part of the same universe.
I don't remember all the names of them. But from the time that Ilsa comes in, they're kind of connected.
Okay.
Anyway, as I always say, not endorsing Tom Cruise. I know he's a Scientologist. Maybe he's a weirdo. But he
is still doing that? Why are you saying he's a Scientologist? Maybe. Come on, we know enough about those people.
Right. I'm just saying there is nobody else in the world probably that is exactly as insane as he is in the ways that he is that could do this job. There's just nobody in the world that could be Ethan Hunt in Mission right Impossible. Job.
Like, thank God he didn't go into politics, because this nation would be controlled. It'd be over for
us. Yes, I was just talking about how, because everybody always talks about, like, other actors that work with him have nothing bad to say about him. Again, maybe he's paid them off or threatened their family or something. I don't know. But they all say that he's, like, so pleasant to work with. And he absolutely seems like the kind of guy where you'd meet him and you would think, like he would be so smiley and friendly and nice and say everything right. But he does have that little glint of evil in his eyes where you would be like, I can't totally tell if this is totally genuine, but it still feels nice. It's like he's really riding that line on, like, you probably would find him very pleasant, but also he has secrets. But also they're none of your business because he's nice.
Well, so. Yeah, don't we all? Right. Yeah, it's like, isn't all sort of like, there's no way for an actor to all of those situations, they're going to be pretending a little bit. Like, it's going to be a little bit, like, performative.
For sure.
But that's what being nice is. It's when you don't feel like being nice and you still are being nice. That's, like, a nice thing to do.
Anyway, so I'm saying I'm not exactly endorsing Tom Cruise as a person, but I think that he's perfect for this job. There's nobody else that, like, he's just got a very specific brain, and that he's crazy enough to be willing to do all these stunts himself, but also, like, actually has enough, like, he's actually smart enough and he has enough expertise and, like, discipline to learn the things that he needs to learn to do them and not die. it's a miracle that he hasn't died. I think there's, like,
it kind of sounds like you love Tom Cruise. It kind of sounds like you're in love with Tom Cruise.
I will neither confirm nor deny. I've said before, I'm not physically attracted to him. I think the evil glint in his eye pushes me away. I don't think...
Yeah, we're in love with Tom Cruise, the idea, not the man.
I just think there's, like, so many other actors probably that have existed that are crazy enough to do stunts like that, but then they die, or, like, something horrible happens to them. But it's a miracle that Tom does all this shit and actually does it, and is not dead yet. Like, he flew a helicopter, I think, and it was part one, so these last two movies were, like, technically part one and part two, because they were more connected than they usually are. And in part one, he flies a helicopter for the first time. You've never seen him fly a helicopter in these movies. Suddenly he's flying a helicopter. And they have all these shots. I mean, it was kind of like what Nathan Fielder did flying the 747.
That's kind of, like, what I was just about to say. There's a weird overlap in terms of the type of insane they are.
You're so
right.
Maybe Nathan Fielder is Tom Cruise's replacement.
Well, I think he kind of is.
Maybe we figured
it
out.
And I think that's... Maybe he is Tom Cruise.
Because they did the same thing when Tom Cruise was flying this helicopter. He actually learned to fly a helicopter, and not just fly it, but, like, fly it in, like, a stunt type of way, because he's doing corkscrews and stuff in this helicopter.
Yes.
And he just learned how to do it. But they have all these shots from outside the helicopter, just like Nathan did with the plane, so that you can see that it's only him flying it. And you can tell it's not CGI, because all of the, like, they're flying through mountains and doing all these turns and stuff, and all of the sunlight, like, the lighting is all perfect. Like, you can tell it's real.
Yeah, I remember when the rehearsal came out, I saw a lot of, like, Tom Cruise slander, because people were like, Tom Cruise thinks he's doing cool, but Nathan Fielder literally learned how to fly a plane. You know, he's truly the actual stuntman. And I'm like, Tom Cruise also learned how to do all, like, it's all real stuff that he's doing. But I never, they both kind of are, they do approach it in a similar way. Like, they both have that same kind of, like,
you're so right about that, though. That Nathan also, like, thinks of these crazy ideas, but then actually has the drive to, like, figure out exactly how to do it.
And to do it smartly. Like you said, Tom Cruise, like, one of the reasons he's alive is because he's incredibly safety conscious. He thinks things through. I sound like I'm in love with Tom Cruise now.
It's hard to talk about the guy without sounding like that.
He's a genius. he's sexy. He's not tall, but that's okay. It doesn't matter. He's sexy. He's intelligent. He's never hurt himself. He cares about people and he loves me. I like people like that a lot. I like obsessive people. And I know there's almost always like a downside to those people, but I do think it's a better world because we have some of them. It doesn't mean you have to like them. Doesn't mean that their friends have to like them or that they're not allowed to hurt people. But thank God for like crazy obsessed people. I think it's a net positive and we all benefit.
Honestly, I'm saying like these movies would not exist without him as they do. And my original point was just to say I really liked the last one. I really liked it a lot. I heard that
it wrapped up nicely.
I guess I won't spoil too much because people probably haven't seen it and you really should watch it. And these are the kinds of movies that you don't want to spoil. It pisses me off. The last few ones that have come out, like since I've been more into the series and like been excited about them coming out in theaters, they always show all the coolest stunts in the trailer. And it's freaking spoiled. Like the one where he,
Yep.
That was like immediately in the trailer and I'm like being assaulted with it when I'm seeing a different movie without my consent. And then like that stunt was ruined for me when I actually saw it. So for the last two movies, I would like hear the music start in the theaters and I would cover my eyes and cover my ears and like go into fetal position so I didn't see it.
I love that. And was it? Did it like, was it good?
Yes, it was much better for that. So, nice. I just thought they did a really good job. It was a really cute send off. They did a lot of callbacks to earlier movies, which is funny because most of them aren't connected, but they like retroactively connected them. But it was really cute. And I was a little bit moved. I don't know. I think I love Mission Impossible.
I might have to actually watch it. I really only saw the one and I thought it was like a really good movie, but I just assumed it was like one of those like, oh, it's a really good action movie, it's fine. I didn't realize there was so much emotion in it, you know?
I mean, you know, there's only so much, but
as like a James Bond or a Marvel movie, you know?
They're just like very silly fun, and I think what I love so much about it is that it's aware that it's silly fun and there's lots of like just stupid little moments like
that's that when they were good. That's what was good about like the best Marvel movies or the only good Star Wars movie.
Yeah,
is that
when
they were
they
like
were good.
A little lighthearted.
Yeah,
you know, like they didn't take themselves overly seriously until they did. And then it became a problem. But well, there you go.
I also love how this one is going to be pretty much just still images. Like, nothing has happened on the screen at all. It's just completely still.
Yeah, every once in a while I have to hit spacebar, which turns my camera around, but I don't think that does anything for you.
Oh, does it turn the... Oh, you can look behind you, I guess, in case Baldi is chasing you. I don't know any Baldi lore.
Yeah, here. Let's look at him.
Let's give Baldi a quick flat peek. Wait, should we actually try to walk around a little bit until we die?
You want to? A little bit? Sure. Let's play Baldi
a little bit. I think we're supposed to be competing, but I'm going to follow you.
Yeah, first person to...
You're so flat. It's crazy.
Flat Stanley. This looks a lot like the screensaver for Windows. Is this a notebook? I picked up a briefcase. Oh, here's a notebook. Got a notebook.
Does it make you do math?
It didn't make me do anything.
Doesn't it, in the original game, doesn't it make you do math? I played it for about 30 seconds.
This is not
seconds.
The original game. This is
what
a
maze.
Spin-off.
I've already lost you. I don't know where you are.
Imagine if your school was like this. It'd be crazy. I want to build a place like this.
A school?
But the problem is I would hang out in it. A creepy school.
I've completely lost you. I'm all alone.
Yeah, we're never going to find
I'm
each
scared.
Other again. What I really want to do, I want to build the... Do you remember the Windows screensaver that I was just talking about?
The one
maze?
With like...
Do you remember that?
Isn't it like red brick, though?
Yeah, I want to build that and walk around in it and then never go in it again because it would be boring after a few days, but...
Yeah, you could do that.
I think it'd be...
You could charge admission.
I think it'd
you
be
could
cool.
make screensaver world.
Yeah, it'd be hard to get it to look right because there's no lights, but it's very well lit. You know what I mean? Like, and you'd want it to have that same kind of strange, like, perfect lighting vibe.
Yeah, exactly. Vibe. Like, early CGI, there's no specific lighting source, but everything is lit.
Yeah, and so it's, like, tricky to recreate, to, like, make it in real life. Like, if you tried to build Mario 64 castle in real life, it would be hard to do that. Because of the lighting, you'd have to get some
that's
Disney
true.
Engineers.
That's true. I think that's
like,
the problem when people remaster stuff like that. Sometimes is then there's like actual lighting sources that make sense, and it looks kind of creepy and dark.
100% agree. Yeah, it's not. It's really hard to retain the vibe, and I wish more people were just like, you could just make it not have lighting. It's fine. Like it really doesn't matter.
Exactly.
But I guess
okay,
it
wait.
Does.
Final question, and then we need to stop. Have you bought? Okay. The new Donkey Kong?
No, I almost did. I heard it was really good.
I've also heard it was good. I have a problem with how shiny the rocks are. Have you seen footage of it?
I don't like how that. Yeah, no, I agree totally. I do not like how the game looks.
I don't know why they had to make all the rocks shiny.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
I think it looks like doo-doo.
Of it at all. It looks very bad. Oh my god, it's you!
Wow, you have way more than me. I think you're winning.
You have one. I have seven. Can
Whoa,
I like stun you or something?
I clicked on you. What just happened? I've been stunned. Did you hit me?
Nice. I think so. See you later. See you later, sucker.